Okay, there's the bell. Time to start. Welcome to our class this morning, or to Steve's class this morning. And Steve's sitting right down here. He did make it back from Guatemala, but very late, I think, last night. So he asked if I would fill in this class this morning. So we will be in 1 Kings 22, just in a couple of minutes. We'll go through a little review work first. Here are the kings that have been in this period so far. In Judah, there's all the lineage of David over there in the southern kingdom, Rehoboam. And some of these are marked evil, some are marked good. When they're marked good, that means they were always good, just mostly good. Rehoboam had 17 years, and he was evil. His son Abijam, same thing, evil, 3 years. And then we have 66 years of good kings with Asa and his son Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's where we are today. Over in Israel, it's not that good. Everybody over there is bad. Jeroboam set up the golden calves, and everybody, it says, fall in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So for 22 years with him, and then his son for 2 years, Nadab. And then you see the dotted lines across there. That's the end of that family, the end of that dynasty. Baasha comes in, he goes for 24 years, and Elah his son for 2 years, and then again you got a dotted line, because that's the end of that dynasty. Zimri lasted for 1 week before Amri killed him, and Amri is the son of the wicked king Ahab, and he's the one we're looking at today. So most time I spend my time in foundations class, and there we kind of get things to drill the kids with. So who followed Nadab? I got thinking caps on this morning. Who followed Nadab in Israel? So if you like to speak it out loud, just run through your mind and think about it. It was Baasha who served for 24 years. And who was the king we're studying about in Judah today? That's Jehoshaphat. And who lasted 1 week? Zimri, 1 week over in Israel. And then the son of Rehoboam, who served for 3 years, is Abijam. And then the king we have today, most wicked king thus far in Israel, is King Ahab. And the first one in Israel is Jeroboam. And then Asa served was king for how many years? Longest one we had so far, 41 years, and he was a good king. And then the father of Ahab, who started this dynasty, was Amri. And the son of Jeroboam was Nadab and Elah, and I think that's all of them, so we'll skip that part. So just get those kings in mind. It's easier to get them as you go, instead of the list is going to get long. It's going to get very complicated here very shortly as you start swapping back between the two kingdoms. Our little quick review from last Sunday. I said a battle between Israel and Syria. And the Syrians are going to come again. God tells Ahab in the spring. They're trying to figure out why they got defeated. Well, they're because Israelite God is a God of the hills. We're going to fight him at the plains next time. So what do? They get an army and come. Here's the capital of Israel, and they fight up in the plains around Aphath. So the battle's there for 7 days, and God gives them a decisive victory. 100,000 of the Syrians are killed, and I think we just don't recognize what 100,000 are. That's not most of the population of Limestone County wiped out in that battle. That many dead bodies, just thinking about that. And then some of the Syrians flee back to Aphath, and the wall falls on them and kills 27,000. That's the population of Athens. Big wall to fall on that many people. Ben-Hadad hides in a room, and the men go to Ahab and try to work out some kind of deal there. Leave him alive. And Ahab refers to him as his friend or his brother. And Ben-Hadad offers concessions, and Ahab lets him go. Of course, God sends a prophet to him, Ahab, about that, and tells him he did the wrong thing. And then you got Naboth's vineyard, and Ahab wanted it and went home upset because Nadab refused to sell it to him, even for a good price, or swap it for a different one. And Jezebel says, why are you crying? You're the king. Why didn't you go get it? And she says, I'll get it for you. So she does, has the city leaders wind up killing Naboth by having scoundrels come in and tell falsehoods about him. They take him out and stone him, and she goes and tells Ahab, go take possession of the vineyard. So God's very angry with Ahab for doing this. And he says, just as the dog licked up Naboth's blood, they will lick up your blood as well. And we'll get to that this morning. So, now, 1 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 18. We'll get into some new material now. So in Judah, we have Jehoshaphat. He's a good king. Reigned for 25 years, following his father Asa, who reigned for 41. God bestowed on him riches and honor because of his goodness. God always gave the blessings to the good kings. But he made an alliance with Ahab, king of Israel, wicked King Ahab, a marriage alliance between the two. I don't really understand why he would do such. A good king with such wickedness, but we'll see, we'll get into that this morning. So he goes to visit Ahab then. And that's where Jehoshaphat's going. So now look at in Israel what's going on. Ahab's the king. Wicked wife Jezebel, who served the Baals. Extremely wicked. And had this peace treaty with Ben-Hadad in Syria. Jehoshaphat then comes to visit him. Let's read a couple of verses from 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles 18, we'll start verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and by marriage he aligned himself with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? He answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in war. Let's watch that develop now. So Ahab's there to visit him. Jehoshaphat's going to visit Ahab. Ahab wants help to go capture Ramoth-Gilead. So here's Samaria, capital of Israel, and Ramoth-Gilead is over on the east side of Jordan. It is one of the original cities of refuge. It's on the King's Highway, the trade route, and Syria is in control of it. So Ahab wants it back. So Jehoshaphat tells Ahab, before we go, inquire of the Lord and find out how this battle is going to come out. Should we go or not? So that expression there, inquire of the Lord. I want to pause just a minute and talk about that. I invite you to turn in a minute. Well, the first point here, courage and evil. Why would Jehoshaphat, or how could he have the courage in the wickedness of King Ahab and his 400 prophets of Baal, we'll see here in a minute, to speak up and ask about the Lord? So some of the good of King Jehoshaphat's coming out here. He wants to know what the Lord says about this battle. But turn now, if you will, just real quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we could look at, I think, some others, one of these, but I want you to see one phrase that's used over and over. 1 Samuel 22. Look at verse 10. And most of this is going to be about David, about King David. 1 Samuel 22:10. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions. Talk about inquire of the Lord for David. Drop down to verse 13. Saul wants to know from Abimelech, did you inquire of the Lord for him? That's what David would normally do. Abimelech answered. And verse 14 and then verse 15, then I did begin to inquire the Lord for him. So David is noted for inquiring for the Lord to find out what the Lord wants him to do. Look at chapter 23. Chapter 23 and in verse 2. It says, David inquired the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Drop down to verse 4. David inquired the Lord once again, shall I go up against the Keilah? Flip over to chapter 30. Chapter 30 and verse 8. So David inquired the Lord, should I pursue this troop? See, David's tendency over and over is to inquire of the Lord. According to 2 Samuel chapter 2. So can you continue with it? It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the city of Judah? 2 Samuel 5, verse 19, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Same chapter, chapter 5, verse 23, David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I go up and circle, you shall go up and circle around behind them, but God told him. And so we could go on with David, I'm going to see the pattern here. David, over and over and over and over, inquired of the Lord. What did he want? But think about Acts 15. Okay, what's Acts 15 about? Most of us know it's the question about circumcision. In verse 6, it says, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. But if you got an issue in the very, very early church, where are you going to go? You're going to go back to the inspired apostles, right? To find out what they want done. So that's essentially inquired of the Lord. What shall we do about this circumcision thing? And then one more in Acts 17, verse 11. This is another familiar thing with the Bereans and more noble than those in Thessalonica. What they do? They search the scriptures, which is the way we inquire the Lord today. So I just wanted to think about that for just a minute. Jehoshaphat inquired the Lord. So, and one more that I didn't have on the screen I'll start with. Go back and think about Eli when he's got young Samuel with him there in the tabernacle, and God speaks, and Samuel goes to Eli, did you call me? And finally Eli tells him what? If you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. All this is kind of wrapped around the same idea. Okay, getting back to our lesson this morning. Jehoshaphat wants to inquire of the Lord, should we go to battle or not? What does Ahab do? He calls in his 400 prophets of Baal and asks them, shall we go? Well, what do you think they're going to tell Ahab? Go up for the Lord will deliver it to your hands. That word it, over the end of the line up there, it's in italics. And in the King James, it's not even in there, in the King James Version. So if you take it out, go up for the Lord, deliver into the hands of the king. So Coffin, in his commentary, makes it kind of a big issue about this. If you take that out, then the Lord will deliver into the hands of which king? Ahab or the king of Syria, and deliver what? You know, Ramoth Gilead or not. So I'm going to put it back in because I think it's where it belongs there. And the intent of this Pelpointer prophets was he will deliver Ramoth Gilead into the hands of Ahab. That's what they're trying to say. But if you see the word it missing, if you got the old King James, that's kind of the what's behind all that. Jehoshaphat's not exactly satisfied with that. So he says, where's the prophet of the Lord? Now, 400 prophets of Baal, wicked King Ahab standing there. Jehoshaphat again says, I want to inquire of the Lord. Where's the prophet of the Lord? You got to give Jehoshaphat credit at this point for wanting to know what God wants him to do. Shall we go or not? Think about a couple of verses. By the truth. We're going to talk about truth a whole lot here in a minute. Buy the truth and do not sell it. The entirety of your word is truth. The word of the Lord is right. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the question is for us this morning, do you want the truth? Do you want the truth? I have no doubt everybody here is going to say, yes, I want the truth. I want the truth. That's why you're here. To hear the truth preached. Let me throw this word up here. Do you want the truth always? Even when it's not what you want? Do you always want the truth? Even when it counters what you want to do? We'll give a lot of examples of that. The one that really comes to my mind from over the years is the question of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Somebody's very strong teaching the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Until what? Until someone in their family is involved in a divorce situation. And then there's an easy tendency to start looking for ways to work around the truth. There can be other things. That's just one that comes to mind. So the question is, do we want the truth? Do we want the truth even when we have to change because of what the truth says? So let's make that application here as Jehoshaphat is looking for the truth. Shall we go or not? I don't want to prophesy Baal. I want to prophesy the Lord because I want the truth. Ahab doesn't want my chaos. Why? He says because of the truth. He always prophesies evil against me. I like my prophets of Baal better. They tell me what I want to hear. Micaiah tells me what God says, and that to me is evil. Which just brings up this verse to mind. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Is that not exactly what Ahab is doing? I don't want the truth from the prophet of the Lord. That's evil. He prophesies evil against me. So while they're waiting for Micaiah to come, the kings are dressed in their robes, sitting on thrones there. And the prophets of Baal are still there. So Zedekiah has some horns of iron he makes. Horns usually indicate power. And so he said, with these you're going to gore the Syrians until they are dead. Well, that's exactly what Ahab wants to hear, of course. But the question is, Zedekiah, where'd you get this information? How do you know that's what's going to happen? Is that really, really what's going to happen? Or are you just making the king happy? So when they go get Micaiah, they tell him, this is what the prophets have told Ahab. Now you go fall in line and you tell him the same thing. So what does Micaiah say? Whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. Whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to speak. Which is exactly what we expect Steve to do every time he's in his pulpit, is to tell what the Lord says. So he comes before Ahab and he tells him what? Go. Go up and prosper. Wait a minute. That's what the false prophets of Baal said. So how does Ahab react? Ahab says, can't be right. He says, tell me the truth. Because I know that's not what. So he does. Micaiah tells him, Israel's going to be scattered. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be defeated. That's the truth. Then Micaiah says something else. This is in 1 Kings 22, starting in verse 19. 1 Kings 22, starting in verse 19. So Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Here's what God said. Forget your 400 prophets of Baal. Ahab, you want the truth? Here's what God said. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the heavenly hosts standing by on his right hand and on his left. I'm going to stop right there just a minute. We often think of who sent a throne scene? John in the book of Revelation. What's Micaiah saying here? I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the heavenly hosts around. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? What does God intend to happen to Ahab? To fall at Ramoth-Gilead. So one spoke in this manner and another in that manner. Then the spirit came forth and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord says, in what way? Well, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said to him, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do it. So the Lord sends this evil spirit to do that. Then he turns around to Ahab and says, therefore, look, the Lord's put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you, Ahab. I don't know exactly what this lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets was. Why would God allow a lying spirit there? Because that's the way the evil prophets of Baal would do anyhow. It did remind me of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It may not be a good parallel, but with all those unrighteous deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth that might be saved. For this reason, God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Perhaps that's a similar situation where God allowed this false deception because they wanted to believe something other than the truth. So Zedekiah, who's the one that had the horns, reaches out and strikes Micaiah, because he accused him of being a lying spirit. Ahab then sends Micaiah to prison and says this, feed him with bread and water, hold him there until I return from battle. What's Micaiah told him? You're not going to return. So Micaiah turns and says, if you return at all, God hasn't spoken through me. I've told you the truth. Ahab didn't want the truth because he wants to go to battle. So even though he's had the truth, he's still going headlong into the battle that he wanted to do, despite the truth. And Micaiah also warns the people and tells him what God said. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat go to battle against Syria. Why did Jehoshaphat, this good king, who's now aligned with Ahab through this marriage arrangement, when he heard the truth from God's prophet, why did he still go to battle with Ahab? The influence of this evil man, and he succumbed to it. Jehoshaphat wanted the truth. He said, inquire the Lord. He got the truth from Micaiah, but he still chose to go to battle with Ahab. And it's going to almost cost him his life. So Ahab's worried about the battle. Obviously, he heard what Micaiah had said. So he tells Jehoshaphat, you wear the royal robes, and I'm going to disguise myself as just a normal soldier here. So they go into battle. Jehoshaphat has on the king's attire. Meantime, the king of Syria says, when you go into battle, seek out the king of Israel and kill him. Fight with no one else. Oh, is this the same one that you called a brother earlier in last week's lesson, and your friend, and et cetera? So seeing the king, right? Only it's not Ahab, it's Jehoshaphat. They pursue Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat cries out for help. Second Chronicles 18:31 now. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him and diverted them from him. Even though Jehoshaphat had chosen this evil thing to do, to go with Ahab, when he cried to the Lord, he's a good king, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him from them. So they realize it's not Ahab. So they turn to go away from him. A random shot is shot by one of the archers. I don't know if God guided that arrow. I would have this feeling that he did. He's involved in it. Because the arrow struck Ahab and fatally wounds him. Blood runs out on the floor of the chariot, and Ahab dies that evening. Do you want the truth, Ahab? Yeah. So Israel's army goes home. Ahab's buried in Samaria, and they wash his chariot out, that blood that ran down, and dogs licked the chariot. Ooh, think I've heard of that before. Remember Naboth and what Elijah told him? Ahaziah, Ahab's son, is now reigning in his place. So the kings now look like this. In Judah, it's Jehoshaphat. Over in Israel is Ahab and his wicked wife, Jezebel. Ahaziah, his son, is now reigning in the place of Ahab. He has another son, Jehoram, who will be on the throne also. He has a daughter named Athaliah. Now back in Israel, Jehoshaphat will be succeeded by his son, Jehoram. Now don't get the two Jehorams mixed up, okay? Ahab's got a son named that. Jehoshaphat has a son named that. And here's the marriage alliance between Jehoram and Athaliah. And to add to that, while you're thinking about all the confusion here, their son is named Ahaziah. So you got Ahaziah and Jehoram both on both sides. And furthermore, before it's over, Athaliah will be over reigning for 6 or 7 years in Judah. So this next little section is going to get really complicated on the names and who's reigning where as these kings get mixed up here with this marriage alliance between Israel and Judah. So a couple of lessons. Whatever the Lord says to me, I will speak. That's what Micaiah said. The truth. Go back to Balaam. What did Balaam say to Balak? All the Lord speaks, that I must do. He tried every way good to work around it, but that's what he said. New Testament verses. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not preach ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:28. Him we preach. Another thought. We want the truth, yes. We want the truth, always. But others may attempt to deceive us as if they're telling us the truth. So, who we believe is up to us. So how are we going to know? We got to know the truth, okay? We can reject what God tells us. I make our choice, as Jehoshaphat did, to go or not go. Ahab did to go or not go once they learned the truth. Because God's prophecies, what God says, is accurate, and it's going to come to pass, just like he said. The serpent said to the woman, you should not truly die, surely die. So what's her choice? What God said, or what the serpent said? What's the truth? From 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out in the world. It's our choice. Paul said, if we are an angel from heaven and preach any other gospel than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. There are other gospels out there other than the truth. Moses said, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. Don't add to it or take away from it. Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. So you can open your ears and you can hear anything you want to hear. It's there. You've got to pick out the truth. I've got a couple more oddball slides here. Someone once asked Billy Graham, is Christianity valid? If it is, then why is there so much evil in the world? And that evil, I think about what we studied about this morning, they have. If Christianity is valid, why is there so much evil in the world? Billy Graham answered and said, with so much soap in the world, why are there so many dirty people? Christianity is like soap. You've got to personally apply it if you want to make a difference in your life. Okay, we got about, 5 minutes or so left, and I've been doing all the talking. I mean, I hear you well, but if you have a comment to add to this, I'd like to hear it now. Someone? I left you time to speak. I have not looked ahead. What the next chapters are? You've got a syllabus handy. Probably 23 in 1 Kings or something.
Yeah, 1 Kings, the last part of 22. And into
2 Kings.
2 Chronicles 19
and 20. Okay, 2 Chronicles 19 and 20. The last part of chapter 22 in 1 Kings, and getting into 2 Kings, if you go from 1 Kings into 2 Kings for next time. Okay, you have a few minutes extra. Thanks.